Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later in the program, Rob DeWalt is going to be with us speaking of the arts. Right now, I'm delighted to welcome to back to the program Peter Sellers. He's the director of many opera and theater productions, including Dr. Atomic, Nixon in China, Othello, and Ina de Mar at the Santa Fe Opera in 2005. And this year, he is at the opera directing Griselda, which opens at the opera this Saturday, the 16th of July. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hey, Mary Charlotte. So cool to be here.
It's great to have you back. So opera is an amazing form in which you are an artist dealing with many, many superstar artists. You have the cast, you have the conductor, you have musicians, you have lighting and costume designers. How do you, as director, bring it all together? What does it look like? What is your role?
Well, the coolest thing is like democracy. Everybody participates, nobody owns it. The whole cool thing is when ownership is finally shared across everyone. Where the person pulling the curtain, where the person painting something in the left corner is as important as the person singing something on the center stage, and where you have this. All of these people have to work together in some kind of not just superficial harmony, but really deep harmony, because we have to be under each other's skin. We have to be in each other's minds. We have to be collaborating at a really sophisticated, intense level to produce something that is actually transcendent and where, frankly, all the ideas are better than mine. I come in with a bunch of ideas, but I'm actually in the room with thrilling people who see things way differently from me, and the combination is what gives it this charge, this power. And when you're looking at what's on stage, you're seeing 100 things. That's because there are 100 things there. It's the difference between art and marketing is everything. Einstein used to have this expression, everything should be stated just as simply as possible and no simpler. People like to simplify stuff past the point where it's correct. And we are in a society of that. We're presented constantly with dumbed down messages, or things are not presented in their real complexity. And what is so satisfying in my line of work is I can present something in its real complexity because we've gotten in there, all of us together in a room. You can invite pretty thrilling people to be in that room. And then you dig and you go at it. And the disagreements are as powerful as the agreements. And so what I show on stage are not only places where we agree, but you can see lots of moments in the show where I have one point of view, the singer has another point of view, the conductor has another point of view, and Gronk, the incredible painter who's made this set, this unbelievable vision of this intense psychological explosion in a mini mall in Santa Fe. It's an amazing total, composite work of art. And the result is sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree. The disagreements are as illuminating as the agreements. And which I love, because that is what democracy is. You don't have to agree every day. That's fascism, where you have to agree every day. Right. Democracy is we're allowed to disagree, and that's where it gets interesting. And that's where you get tension, contradiction, multiple points of view presented simultaneously. And that's why I adore opera.
So you are, you're hired to do this. To do this thing, right? And so then, are you involved in casting? Are you involved in the set
design? Yes, I'm deeply involved in every part of it. At the same time, again, what you do is you cast people who are going to challenge you, and I'm working with people who constantly make me see something differently, think of it differently. The opera itself, Griselda, is pretty funky because it's based on Boccaccio's patient Griselda from the 14th century, where a woman is abused so intensely by her husband and stripped of everything and thrown into the street as some kind of lesson in patience. And she does remain patient, and it's an amazing piece about how do you maintain your grace and dignity in the face of gross injustice? And the injustice is appalling. And do you become the people who are perpetrating it, or do you have your own kind of calm? And it has that Gandhi and Martin Luther King, that quality of you do not become the people who are trying to destroy you. You actually take a higher ground and you stand for something else. And this woman is the only person who's not willing to sell herself. Everybody else, it is a world of reality TV where nothing is real. It's a world where everybody's willing to sell themselves or their friends or the person they thought they loved for anything. If it looks like there's a little career ahead of it or TV time or, you know, some get-rich-quick scheme. It's a pathetic situation of all these characters who hate themselves because they've all sold out. And their arias are torrents of notes where the person they can't stand to live with is them. And then let alone the people next to them who they just sold down the river. And so this one woman who doesn't do all that, who's not for sale, and you watch her hold on to who she actually is. And the music for her is thrilling. And, of course, in the end, she's the real deal and everybody else is scrambling. And it's kind of amazing that this piece is written in 1735 and already shows you the madness of selling out and also the beauty of holding on to not losing your cookies when the world loses its cookies. You know, and actually just not panicking. You know, we're all in this reactive state these days. Everybody's reacting to everything and not just saying, you know, calm down. Let's recenter ourselves. What do we actually stand for? And let's stand for that.
It's interesting that you say this. I mean, before we went on the air, you were talking about the reality that a lot, especially a work of art like this, Griselda, is a different piece for every person who sees it. And we were talking about that with the director of theater work the other day who did a Van Gogh piece. And you having just said that, I saw the play, I saw the opera last night, the dress rehearsal, and I thought, there's so much virtue on this stage that I don't even know what to do with myself. And it's not only Griselda. Yeah. The young Costanza, she's struggling with duty versus love, and the man whom she loves, whom she's not allowed to marry because she has to marry the king who she doesn't even love, is also struggling with his love and his duty to let her go, but still bask in the glory of his love for her. I mean, there's a lot of virtue. I don't think they're all sellouts.
Well, no, but you know, her deal is, you know, she's going to be queen, so okay, the guy she loves can just stand in the corner for a while, because being queen will be fun. And, of course, it isn't. And, you know, it's that kind of thing. I mean, it's that weird thing of people think, yes, I can, you know, if the person I love will just, you know, take a number, wait in line, I'll be back in a minute. And, of course, you're not back in a minute. And you don't know how to come back when you do come back. And it changes you, and you're telling yourself you're never going to change, and of course you're changing all the time. And you, so this piece is about people, you know, the love and duty stuff is a little bit of a silly translation of the libretto, because it's way deeper than that. It's just, it's what your conscience tells you of, you know, all that stuff you're doing versus all that stuff you know you actually should be doing. And that's a pretty human issue, could I say that? And it has to do with recycling and it has to do with everything. You know, it's like what you should be doing and what you are doing. Those are very different categories in the life of most human beings. and it's the tension between those two categories that is who you are as a person. Is, are you the person you imagine, or are you this whole other person who is way far from the person you actually wanted to be?
And there's that question, which I actually think about quite a lot, which is we don't know who we are until we are tested, but we really don't want to be tested.
No way. And this opera is testing a big, is serious, serious testing, and it is so not multiple choice. You know, one of my obsessions, of course, is the reduction in No Child Left Behind of all education to testing, because, you know, actually, that's the, you know, what we've now done with a whole generation of school children is said, you know, you will give us back the correct answer that we've already told you. And we have made a whole generation, we have rewarded that kind of obedience. And what we have actually not created the space for is alternative thinking, for people, you know, imagining their own solution to something, having their own point of view. What I love about what I do is that no two people do see the same thing, you know, is that actually this is a lot of work for the audience. You can really go there and say, what is this? Because it's not clear what it is. You know, deliberately, I really want to make it as weird and complicated as possible so you have lots of room to figure it out on your terms. And it's very participatory. It is not a spectator sport. You know, and I really from...
It's not.
No way. You have...
We're not singing along.
No, well, yeah, but you know what? You're in there figuring it out. And again, what's so cool is because the set isn't a realistic set of somebody's living room or whatever, whatever. It's this wild, insane fresco by Gronk where you are lost in 100 images that are all twisting and turning and burning in your mind where you locate yourself in that geography. How you locate that self, yourself in that geography, what images it actually incites and inspires in your own imagination, that's what's going on. And, you know, unlike television and a bunch of things where you're being told what to think every minute, and most Hollywood movies where you're being told what to look at, what to think, who to think, who to look at and what to think about them, in this opera, we're doing exactly the opposite. You have this wide open space where right and wrong and who you like and why and what's going on is totally up to you. And that I find exhilarating because finally you're treated like an adult. You're treated like an intelligent person. You're not being fed like a goose in France. You're actually really demanded to say, wait a minute, here's this complicated, amazing world. Go ahead, put it together. And that I love. And of course, what's on stage has all these layers because it's part from the 14th century, it's part from the 18th century, and it's part right now. And so all of those layers are moving. So your ancestors are desperately trying to communicate with you. And the question is, can you hear them? And it's that kind of very cool thing of only 6 people are on stage all night, and yet the night is so overwhelming and emotionally, just huge. But it's not opera as giant spectacle with, an army of 40,000 people cross the stage and blah, blah, blah. It is actually this intimate thing of 6 people
and a
just
chair.
Dealing with it. And a chair. The chair is pretty special because Gronk, the artist, painted the chair, and it has a cushion that everyone wants to take home. I will tell you that. It's a very special cushion on that chair. But yes, this one chair, because, of course, what I love is in this age of the budget cut, can you do something inexpensive? And I think people identify opera with excess and with, kind of over-the-top behavior and also budgets. And for me, it's very, very important to do it lean and beautiful and make the beauty not about the money, but the beauty about the economy of gesture, and that actually a handful of people just working with a lot of intelligence and creativity can solve the problem. And it's not just throwing money at it. And for me, one of the things that we do as artists is we solve problems without money. We're not actually saying the solution is only money, because frankly, when really, 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 really rich people or rich institutions, you can see that money does not solve the world's problems because they have plenty of money and they are dysfunctional in an extreme way. And so, in fact, what's cool about being an artist is it opens you into another field where you're saying, well, maybe the problem isn't just an economic one. And, that filter, the economic filter that we have been, had grafted onto our faces in the last generation, where we're looking at everything as a spreadsheet and everything as an economic crisis. Well, actually, wait a minute. The non-cash economy is the real economy. The what keeps the world going is all the things people don't get paid for, all the things people actually just do. And, as Howard Zinn used to say, the world, it was actually, whatever democracy or freedom we have in the world is not from people who had a job. It's from people who walked off the job. It's from people standing in front of the White House, not people in the White House. It's actually, whatever democracy or freedom is in the world came from people who just chose to bring those things into the world instead of having a job.
We're talking to Peter Sellars about the opera Griselda, which opens tomorrow night at the Santa Fe Opera. One thing that is interesting about the experience of watching it is that there are several female roles. There's 2 countertenors, which sound like female roles, and there's a pants role, which is a woman playing a man's role. So there's actually only one real male-sounding voice on the stage, which is the king.
It's a kicker. Again, when people talk about gender roles, what's so cool about Baroque opera is it blows your mind. You have you're so lost as to who is what. And I love that because, your assumption about a woman, your assumption about a man, your assumption about all that stuff is just blown sky high. And what you're getting is this deep emotion that comes from something that is not on the surface. It's not what people look like, that is who they are. they are something else. And if you're still judging the book by its cover, you haven't read the book. And you just need to go inside these people. And when they open their mouths, a sound comes out that's not what you expect. You know, these countertenors are singing this high, blazing, beautiful, amazing register. You know, this real, you know, loosh guy is being played by a 26-year-old soprano, this young woman from Chicago, and you know, she's being Usher. You know, it's just, it's the funkiest thing. But of course, that's what you love about theater, is that, you know, nobody is what they look like, nobody who's who you thought they were. And that is where art is really like life. You know, it's just, if all of your assumptions have to fall away as you go through the night, and you say, well, that's, I didn't see that coming, and you didn't. And I love that. It's totally thrilling.
Was it written that way, do you suppose, to establish the king's authority with his low voice?
Well, you know, I think what's so interesting is our ancestors did so many funky things that that they didn't have to explain to anybody. And it actually got into all the things you're not allowed to talk about. You know, and so the casting of an opera in Venice in 1730 with a cast that weird, you know, you couldn't talk about what was going on, but people went and saw it every night, you know. And so clearly it's like this open space for the unmentionable. And it is this big public stage for everything you're not allowed to ever acknowledge.
So what are some of those things in this opera that you weren't allowed
to acknowledge? As you said, the absolute right of kings. You know, here's this absolute king figure, and yet he's shown to be wrong every single minute. It's also, you know, even when he makes these giant proclamations, you watch, he is actually freaked out and totally out of control himself, even though he's acting like, you know, the king has spoken. In fact, he's a total basket case. He's a mess. He's a man making serious mistakes and refusing to back down. And at the same time, you can see he's just not a really happy person. And in fact, he's really suffering. And it's the women who turn out to have a bunch of compassion for him because, you know, as Martin Luther King said, until we love some of these people, no one will be safe, you know. And so actually step one is to find a way to love this pretty supremely unlovable individual who, needless to say, has a lot of trouble even loving himself, even though he's clinging on to power. He's actually, his self-image is beyond low, and it's kind of pathetic, and the music is giving you all these other sides of who he is that have nothing to do with the words that are coming out of his mouth, but the music tells you a whole other story. You know, the women, are, you know, what Vivaldi will do is give you on one word literally 120 notes. And so when Costanza, the lover who's just not sure she would rather be queen or be in love with the person she's actually in love with and all that stuff, you know, on the word compassion, she sings 100 notes. And so just the word compassion causes this flood of anguish, of weirdness, of extreme, extreme psychic torment to just gush from her being. And you go, oh my God, is she okay? And the answer is no. And how do you even touch her? How does she even touch herself? How does she even go into the place where she's suffering so much she can't even say the word compassion? You know, it's so intense because the opera form turns your insides out. And so everything that people are going around repressing and are inside, you know, that, you know, because most people are not only lying to the people they're talking to every day, they're lying to themselves before they even get to the person they're talking to. And I'm not saying that in some nefarious way. I'm just saying it's like it's the act of being human. You're not being completely honest. And we all have this way of just not being completely honest. And the result is this little gap keeps showing up all the time. And that's filled with a lot of residual tension. And so the music takes you into that place that's extremely toxic. But because the music itself isn't toxic, it's beautiful, you have a guided tour of hell with sheer beauty, image by image by image, and the sheer beauty of the human beings who are opening their hell to you. And these people are just ravishingly beautiful, courageous people. And you're watching them go to a place that is so scary. And part of it in opera is like they're Olympic athletes. They're doing something you or I couldn't do. You I mean, we just can't do that. And they're singing these things that are so hard, are so extreme, that require such acrobatics, such skill, and you have to have, you know, like a great gymnast, you have to have been doing that. If you were not doing that when you were four, you don't have a chance. You know, it's like this thing, you have to spend your life so that tonight you can sing those three notes. You know, that's a whole lifetime of commitment that made those three notes possible. And so you're watching these extraordinary human beings who I think are larger than life in the sense of they're more courageous than any of us, and they're more committed than any of us. Because when you go out there on that opera stage, you got to commit to those notes, because that's not going to come casually. You got to totally focus, and that extreme concentration is, like it is in sports, exhilarating. And you watch human beings become superhuman in some thrilling way. So for me, the whole enterprise of opera is so extreme that it actually lets you go back to real life with this sense of liberation and this sense that incredible things are possible. You know, and here we are in this political gridlock, and they are singing all night this incredible, incredible aria after aria about change and about the fate changing and destiny changing and destiny looking one way, and then suddenly, two arias later, everything's turned around and looks another way. And it's so important in a political world. I mean, what Vivaldi was doing in the Age of Absolutism was saying, well, this absolute power looks like it's here forever. It isn't. These people who look like they're running everything, they actually aren't running everything. It's a panic. The establishment is not established. And in fact, these people who act like they have everything under control, they don't. And
a king is very much the subject of his subjects.
In a big time. And so for me, what's so exciting about opera is the plots are kind of convoluted and unbelievable until you look at what the Republicans are doing. And suddenly you say, oh, right, okay, this is not unbelievable. Oh, it is unbelievable, and it's happening. You know, and it's convoluted, and that is actually what Mitch McConnell is proposing this morning. You know, and so what I love is that the opera looks like crazy off the charts, and like, who would believe that? And then turn around and look at what the actual news is, and hello. So what's great is opera is more fun than a congressional hearing, and it's actually more informative in most cases.
Than the Congress channel on cable?
Can I tell you that? Yeah. I don't want to go real out on a limb here. But, you know, but for me, it also points to the fact that, again, life is much more alive than we think. And life isn't behaving the way we want it to behave, and thank God for that. And actually, there are all these openings in a world that's telling you we have no more openings. And in fact, the world is wide open. And that's what opera is showing you, is this wide open world where everything's in the process of morphing into something else, and where these astounding transformations are actually what's going on. So the music takes you in there. The visual art takes you in there, the movement takes you in there, the poetry takes you in there, and by the time you get the alchemy of all of those things interacting, there's no single truth, there's no, you know, official line, the whole thing is fluid, and we're going to have a future as a society.
Peter Sellers is the director of Griselda, which opens tomorrow night at the Santa Fe Opera. Santa Fe Opera is on the web at santafeopera.org. Thank you so much for being
Mary
with
Charlotte,
us.
Mary Charlotte, it is so cool to be with you. Thank you.
And we hope to have you back again soon.
That's a deal.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasa Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts, bienvenido.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good.
I've been to two operas in two nights.
Are you tired?
Well, yes, but it was worth it.
Are you operaed out?
Nope, I'm going tonight.
Oh, you're going tonight? What did you see?
La Boheme on Wednesday, the dress rehearsal of Griselda last night, and then tonight is Faust.
Ah, I'm waiting for my mother to get here to go to the opera. I'm going to take my mother to the opera. If she wants to go. If she doesn't, it's a wash.
If you can get tickets to La Boheme.
I can get tickets to La Boheme.
It is, I mean, I bawled like a baby. It's so beautiful.
You bawled like a baby?
Yes, I shouldn't say this on the
radio,
but I did.
They didn't kick you out?
Well, no, it was silently.
Oh, silently.
I cried. It was very beautiful.
You were one of those... One of those?
No, not quite.
Not quite that bad?
Not quite that bad.
Okay.
So what's
sorry.
What's happening this weekend?
Well, I'm obviously feeling a lot better, so that's good.
We are glad to hear it.
All kinds of marvelous stuff going on this week and this weekend. Tons of art openings. Eggman and Walrus has a great show. It's Ashley Lamb is having a show called Placeholder, and Nina Rizzo and Jen Wilson, aka Trace Barbarellas, are having a show, and that's at Eggman and Walrus. There's a reception tonight from 5:30 to 9 p.m. There's tons of Meyer East has a great show, Land and Light Landscapes by Peter Campbell, and there's a reception tonight from 5 to 7. Neiman Fine Art over there on Lincoln Avenue, Sculpture by Arlo Naminga, and there's a reception tonight from 5 to 7.
And it's so nice to just walk around on nights like these beautiful evenings that we've been having where it's not cold and not hot.
Yeah.
So you can go to every gallery downtown and on Canyon Road.
Yeah. And I suggest, you know, I mean, I've done the Canyon Road thing enough, but I suggest people take a look. There's a lot of new stuff out there. Red Dot Gallery, I believe, opened last week, and they have some great work up there. It's a wonderful, wonderful gallery. I don't know the exact address, but if you give me 5 seconds, I'm sure I can find it.
Five, four, three, two, one.
I don't have the address in front of me.
Okay, that's all right.
But I'm sure that they have a web presence, so you could find out.
Or yes. Red Dot Gallery. No, I heard about the opening and have not yet been there. So, what else is going
Well, the
going
New Mexico
on?
Jazz Festival is kicking off this week, isn't it?
It is indeed.
I believe that it really starts on Tuesday, July 19th, and it's sort of kicking off. It's a lot of things are happening at the Lenzic, but on Tuesday, July 19th, I believe Mose Allison, pianist and singer, is going to be performing on the bandstand on Santa Fe Plaza, and they are going to.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, and they're performing. Not with, but the Pat Malone Quartet is also going to be there. I believe they're opening. Now the music starts at 6 p.m. and that's on July 19th, and then. Events in Albuquerque start on Thursday the 21st with jazz guitarist Michael Anthony at the Outpost Performance Space. If you go to NewMexicoJazzFestival.org, you can find out more information on the jazz festival.
Excellent.
And I'm gonna try and hit some concerts this year. I just never do. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
There's something wonderful about going to a place like the Lenzic or Santa Fe Bandstand, but it being with people who love the music as much as you do. Mm-hmm. And are in that beautiful space together. Live music.
Yeah,
is where it's at.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's more of a culture observer thing. I'm not a jazzaholic at this point in my life. Perhaps later on, I will be.
When you mature?
In another life.
Ah.
I don't plan on maturing, so that's pretty much out. What else is going on? Oh, L-1011. This is a great duo from L.A., and they do this sort of instrumental rock. They have this great live looping thing that they do on stage. They do a great cover of Radiohead's Paranoid Android. And they believe that they blew through here, I think, in January, and they played at Corazon, RIP Corazon. But they're playing at Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill, the former Santa Fe Brewing Company pub and grill, out there on 27 Fireplace Road off Highway 14 on Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Doors open at 6. You can get tickets from the Lenzic, and they're not that expensive. And this is a great show. This is last time they were here. They hyped the show, and it was great. And this time, I think it's going to be a little bit easier for people to see and hear them in the configuration of the stage and whatnot there.
Now, here's some stuff going on at the Center for Contemporary Arts on Sunday, the 17th, at 11:30 in the morning. CCA. Performance series in high definition, Simon Rattle and the Berlin Philharmonic. And then the Tuesday, the 19th, Santa Fe Opera presents Pasolini's Decameron, introduced by Peter Sellars. So that's some stuff that you may not be going, that you may not know about. That's at 7:30 in the evening on Tuesday that's going on at the CCA, in addition to their regular films. And their film that is showing morning, noon, and night is Buck. Have you seen that?
Morning, noon, and night. It's Buck. Yeah, I reviewed it.
Yeah, Buck. Oh, that's right. Is showing many times a day at the CCA, and it's a very good film.
It was a very good film. I spent some time working with horses up in Big Timber, Montana when I was a kid. And so I have a soft spot for horses, especially when they kick me in the face. I get a really soft spot when they do that.
Yeah, it gets softer the more they kick you.
Yeah, yeah. And that would explain a lot.
And of course, Pasolini's Decameron is in honor of the Santa Fe Opera's production of Griselda, which we just talked about, because the story Griselda is from Boccaccio's Decameron. And so is, and that's what this event at the CCA is about.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just too much information. Oh, my
Sorry.
Gosh.
That's not too much information. Santa Fe Bandstand Summer Concert Series, speaking of the Plaza Bandstand. Power pop and rock band Kristen Gray and the Moving Dunes perform on Thursday the 21st. And Ryan McGarvey is also performing that night. And that starts at 6, and that's on the Plaza. And I'm gonna meander down to that one after work. I love both of those bands, but I haven't seen Ryan McGarvey perform in a while. And he's great, great blues man.
And they've got, on Santa Fe Bandstand, they have music not only Monday through Thursday evenings, but Monday and Wednesday at noon.
Yes.
They've got concerts. I went to the noon concert last Wednesday, and it was hot, but everybody was sitting in the shade, uh-huh. and it was great.
It was weird. I walked down there, because, you know, you go
I
down there.
I saw you.
Yeah, I saw you. I saw you. Roberto Capocchi was playing his classical guitar, and I was screaming, "Piano Man!" And I don't think he heard me, so.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, but it's funny, because you walk down there, that was like a lot of times for the noon shows, and if they're a bit subdued, like if it's a guitarist or a solo performer or something like that, you won't see people standing around dancing as much, you know? And I don't know what it is, but during the day, people tend to just sit and watch.
That's just playing too hot.
Yeah.
And also it's harder to dance to classical guitar.
Well, it's not hard, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Let's see. There are shows on, what did you say? It was Monday and Wednesday?
Monday and Wednesday are the noon shows.
Monday and Wednesday. Okay, so on Monday we have Los Radiators. The Radiators, basically.
The Radiators. I think it's called Los Radiators.
Los Radiators?
I don't know.
Los Radiators. and then there's Wagogo is also performing. And then Sister Carol, the reggae artist, is performing. And that all starts at 6 o'clock on Monday. And then on Wednesday, Delta Blues duo James T. Baker and Holly, followed by Road Trip, which is like funk and soul. And then that's at noon. And then Estilo. Which is sort of a variety band, followed by Los Tropicales Latin Grooves at 6. So that all kicks off again at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. So
excellent.
Tons of great free
live music. You just stay downtown.
Live music. Yeah, you just stay downtown and, you know, support your local merchants and listen to some great free music.
Exactly.
All that booty you're saving on concert tickets, you can, you know, go get an ice cream or a burger or a beer, you know.
Or all of the above.
Yeah.
And it's really good for you. You could ice get cream, burger, and beer. It's a balanced meal. Yeah. It has all the food groups.
You could get a salad, too,
okay.
if you want it. Okay. So, speaking of the opera, what is happening opera-wise this week? We've got Faust.
Faust tonight, Griselda tonight. Tomorrow.
Griselda tomorrow.
And Griselda Wednesday
Griselda
again.
Wednesday, that's right. That's right. I don't know. I mean, I haven't been up there yet to see, you know, how packed it is, but the Santa Fe Opera is always packed. So I'm going to go up there in August. I'm going to wait until towards the end.
Ah.
Yeah.
Excellent. And in August, they have, I think, 4 different weeks, maybe in the entirety of August, they have a different show every night. So for those people who want to come in from out of town and see them all, you mm-hmm. can do that in August.
Yeah. Opera Palooza.
Opera Palooza.
Mary Charlotte could be your chaperone. She knows what it's like to watch them back to back.
I know. There's a 3 opera week.
You buy the ticket. She'll chaperone you.
That's right. I will chaperone you.
That's the deal.
So let's see. Go ahead.
There's lots of live music all over town. There's Ian Moore and the Lossy Coils, sort of a power pop ensemble, and they are touring. They're playing at 10 p.m. on Friday night, tonight, at Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill. And I'm not sure if it's Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill or Soul Santa Fe Stage and Grill. The owner told me that either one is fine. so apparently he's not printing up business cards. You can get tickets are available at holdmyticket.com. But if you go to soulsantafelive.com, you can catch out, find out about all their shows coming up. And there's links to buy tickets online if you want to get them in advance. Whatever.
The ongoing community art show presents the evolving Pushpin self-portrait project. Have you ever seen this? Have you ever heard of this? It's basically hang your work, come see the show every Wednesday through Saturday from 5 to 9. now through closing, which is the 29th of July, and it's at Warehouse 21 mm-hmm. in the upstairs gallery.
Yeah, this has been going on for a while.
Yeah.
And they originally wanted it to be like a juried show, and you could only bring your work in that first day, the day of the reception, and then they've just extended it. So I think this is a great idea.
It looks like a lot of fun. I haven't been over there yet.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of the portraits?
I sort of saw some in the beginning, but I'm, you know, since it's evolving, I'll have to go back.
You will have to go back indeed.
Yeah. I hope when it evolves, it gets thumbs and toes.
Opposable thumbs.
Well, they don't have to be opposable.
And wings.
They can get along.
It's called Little Wing.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
Little Wing, the greatest art space in Santa Fe without a home. Sort of. let's see. What else? Best of Morocco. A slide presentation by Michael Handler at 5 p.m. on Saturday over there at the Travel Bug. You ever been to any of these slideshows over there?
No, not
they're
for
fun.
A while.
They're fun. Most of the time, they're pretty well attended, and it's kind of like traveling on the cheap. You just sort of listen and watch, and you don't have to buy a ticket. Ooh, the Viva Mexico celebration is happening out at Las Golondrinas this weekend. I forgot. I think it's this weekend. Yes, it is. On Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., July 16th and 17th, there's going to be, the aerial acrobatics, what do you call it, Los Voladores? Remember this? These guys, they ascend this pole and
they go up this sort of giant maypole-looking thing.
Yeah.
And jump off and spin around in the air and all kinds of things.
Yeah. And it's really high up, and it's very scary. And there's also going to be food and music, and there's going to be Mexican artisans. There's going to be a 40-member Oaxacan dance troupe. There's going to be mariachis, Mexican clowning troupe. Corsina 20 is going to be performing, and they're kind of going to do a mariachi send-up, too. If you go to golondrinas.org, you can find a full schedule and ticket information and all that good stuff.
Excellent.
That's a great time. That's Viva Mexico is one of my favorite events out there, besides the wine festival, of course.
You like the wine festival?
I love the wine festival.
You like wine?
I love wine.
You like to wine?
I dyed my hair wine colored.
Yeah, you kind of did.
Yeah.
I've never seen orange wine.
It's not orange. It's purpley.
Just kidding.
It's not orange, people.
We're talking to Rob DeWalt. Speaking of the arts. And my computer just froze, so I cannot read the rest of the things that I would like to. Oh, no, here it opened again. Let's see. Tomorrow on Camp Love Wave at 11 o'clock, Camp Love Wave brings you scientist and author of Apocalypse 2012 and Aftermath, a guide to preparing for and surviving Apocalypse 2012, Lawrence Joseph, where the Greek root of the meaning of apocalypse is lifting of the veil.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Here's a little something more mellow, but it should be an interesting talk. It's a panel discussion called Why Do Artists Make Art?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Panel discussion in conjunction with the exhibit Mining the Unconscious 2, moderated by Donna Ruff, who's a contributing faculty member at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. And panelists include Lisa de St. Croix and Eliza Schmidt and Taylor Oliver. And that's at 7 p.m. at the Fine Arts Gallery on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design tonight. And you can get more information by calling 473-6508. Why do artists make art? I don't know, because if they made manholes, they wouldn't be artists. They would be manhole makers.
Unless they used their manholes
as art.
A theater
right.
space.
Well, there's manhole art around, you know. I don't think there's much here, you know. I think the closest thing we have to it is a mailbox that looks like R2-D2. let's see. Ooh. Santa Fe Flea at the Downs. Have you ever been out there?
I have not yet been. A friend of mine went the other day and said it was very good.
Yeah. One of my colleagues went with her husband, and she said that they scored some killer booty out there.
Killer booty?
Yeah.
You mean boots?
Like pirate booty.
Oh, okay. Oh, that kind of booty.
Not like shaken booty, but pirate booty. Although I'm sure if you wanted to, you could score some shaken booty out there, too, if you look hard enough. But don't pay for it. That's illegal.
All right, then.
On Saturday, Calgary Barbecue is hosting a benefit for the Wildland Firefighter Foundation and the American Red Cross. The Wildlife uh, Firefighter Foundation sort of gives moral and financial support to families of firefighters who've been killed in the line of duty or have been injured in the line of duty. And there's all kinds of people on the bill. Sean Heelan, EC Hare and Wild Frontier, the Broom Dust Caravan. There's tons. You can read all about it in my Soundwaves column, but that's 7:30 from 3 to 7:30 p.m. Tonight at the tomorrow night at the Cowgirl. There's no cover, but they're accepting donations throughout the afternoon and evening. So go and check that out and support the Wildland Firefighters Foundation. These firefighters have been out here from all over the country helping us out here in New Mexico. So it's time to give back a little bit.
And I got a notice from a friend who works at Los Alamos who said that they need help. They're getting volunteers to fill sandbags today, tomorrow, starting at 7 in the morning and until it's done. And you can sign in at the Senior Center at Santa Clara Pueblo, just off State Road 30 at 1 Key Street, and bring closed-toed shoes, jeans, shirts with long sleeves, work gloves, shovel, hat, sunscreen, and water. So the lab is sponsoring that whole activity. Let's see. I think they are. Anyway, for more information, you can go to facebook.com and look for Lanel Las Conchas Fire Recovery.
Cool. Oh, what's this? Oh, there's the 67th annual Behind Adobe Walls Home and Garden Tours. Four bus tours of 8 private residential gardens, and that's Tuesday. It starts at 12:30 p.m. Buses depart from the Hotel Santa Fe at that particular time. There's a you can do that. There's a pre-tour lunch that costs something extra. If you contact Terry at Westwind Travel for tickets, call her at 984-0022. And those tours continue July 26th. So if you miss it this coming Tuesday, you can go the following Tuesday. But go and see the homes and gardens. Get some inspiration to go out in your own yard and plant something awesome.
I know, and there's still lots of time to plant. Every year I say I'm going to plant hollyhocks. I think today I'm going to plant some hollyhocks because those things grow like crazy. I see them growing in Casa Solana. There's a place where they're growing out of the cracks in the sidewalk.
I know, they grow like weeds at Santa Cafe, or at least they used to.
Yeah, even in a complete drought.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're great plants. I mean, they're perfect for somebody like me who can just look at a plant and kill it. So let's see, what else?
Free screening of the Oscar-nominated documentary and special jury prize documentary at the Sundance Festival. It's called Gasland.
Yeah.
And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and it's screening again tomorrow at noon. There's an event that's actually from noon to 3:30 because it's not only the event, but Craig Barnes will be there, and there will be an expert panel talking about fracking, hydraulic fracturing, including Weston Wilson, who is an EPA environmental engineer. He took whistleblower status and reported to Congress on the EPA cover-up on their hydraulic fracturing study. And Wilson, he's in the documentary Gasland. And then Don Hamilton and Kathleen Dudley from Drilling Mora County will be there. And it is at 1420 Cerrillos Road at the Center for Progress and Justice tomorrow at noon.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's a really good movie. Have you seen it? Mm-hmm. It's done with all this kind of unusual documentary. It's very personal. The person who made it is making it really in a first-person kind of way, and it's so skillfully done. I loved it, just as a movie, much less as this incredibly important message.
Yeah, I wanted to see it, and then we have this big pile of books at the office, and I found a copy of it and watched it.
Excellent.
And was very, very impressed by the style that it was made in.
Yeah.
It's unusual, but I think that's good.
But not like goofy, weird, obscure experimental.
Yeah.
Where you can't understand what's going on. It's the exact opposite.
Right. And not like Morgan Spurlock, Michael Moore, me, either. So, anyway, let's see. There's all kinds of other stuff going on. What was I going to talk about? I forgot.
I don't know.
The World Listening Day celebration is on Monday.
World Listening Day. Meaning we should shut up and listen to each other?
No, this is a talk and listening session and a sound walkthrough in the rail yard, field recording demonstrations, and an introduction and exploration of New Mexico Sound Map Community Web Project. I don't know much about this, but it looks really, really interesting. And this is happening from 7 to 9 p.m. At the Santa Fe Complex over there in Agua Fria Street. Those guys are always doing something really interesting over there. And World Listening Day, I had no idea that such a thing even existed. But there you go. 7 to 9 p.m. on Monday, World Listening Day. There's no charge for that, by the way.
Excellent.
So listening is free, apparently. So that's awesome. Youth Nights at the Opera continue on Tuesday. Santa Fe Opera presents a special program that allows families with kids to attend select... No, this can't be right. This can't be right.
Go ahead.
The Last Savage. It's a dress rehearsal youth night at the Santa Fe Opera at 9 p.m. on Tuesday. Okay. And then there's an educational presentation that precedes the performance. It's at 8 p.m. at the Santa Fe Opera. If you call 986-5900, you can find out what tickets are for that event. What else is happening? Arts Alive.
The youth nights and dress rehearsals are fun.
No, they are. They're a lot of fun. I mean, I like me personally, I would rather go to a youth night dress rehearsal, like, and drag my godkids along than go to a performance.
Do your godchildren like opera?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think they've
you
ever...
You can find out.
I don't think they've ever seen opera.
You should drag them along.
Heard opera. They're more of a top 40 type, you know. I mean, they're like 11 and 9. I don't think...
They might love some of them.
No, that's what I mean. I'm gonna drag them up there and see if they like it.
Drag.
Well, I mean, they'll come willingly.
Right.
If you just say ice cream, then they'll come. Let's see what else. Juan CD Flamenco Theater Company.
Yes, indeed.
That's 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday at the Maria Benitez Theater, and that's up there at the Lodge at Santa Fe. There's a new restaurant up there. I keep trying to get to, but I haven't been able to get up there yet. I guess there's more than one of them. It's called Los Cuates, and it's New Mexican food. But
excellent.
I'm hearing good things about it.
Cool.
So maybe I'll go up there and get my burrito and flamenco on at the same time. What else? Oh, you know this Page One movie is coming out.
It
starts today.
Tell us about
I reviewed it in today's Pasta Tiempo. Page One. It's kind of like an inside look at the New York Times, but the whole movie sort of takes place. Like 2008-ish, like when WikiLeaks and things, like over the course of a year, this filmmaker went in there and spent time with the media desk, you know, the folks that are in charge of reporting on what's happening in the Twitterverse and things like that.
It's called the Twitterverse?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah. The blogosphere, the Twitterverse. You couldn't call it the Twittersphere because that would be... Well, I don't know what that would be. but it's kind of a great look at how newspapers are struggling to kind of fit a square peg of that sort of technology and social media into the round hole of the traditional print journalism.
Right.
And it's, you know, in some cases it's of course sad because you see people getting laid off. But David Carr sort of steals the show. David Carr is a 25-year veteran reporter who wrote this great memoir called The Night of the Gun back in 2008 and discusses his crack addiction and whatnot and sort of rose to the top as a reporter for the New York Times, and he's kind of the central piece of this great film.
Gotta see it.
Yeah, I mean, I only gave it 2.5 chilies because the film really couldn't really tell you what it was about.
Huh.
It was going in 50 million directions.
Yeah, but still,
but
a movie about the media,
yeah,
considering that we are the media,
yeah,
here, is always good to see. And don't forget Salsa at the Lodge tonight at 9 o'clock. With DJ Sofrito and all sorts of other good things that you can find about in the Pasa Tiempo.
Yes.
Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. Rob DeWalt is with us from that august publication, speaking of the arts, every Friday just about. And you are going to be off next Friday, is that right?
I am. I'm taking a two-day Ojo Caliente getaway.
Nice.
I got to get away.
Nice. Yeah. I have to say, the restaurant up there is so good that you don't even know what to do.
Well, I'm going to have to find out.
It's so good.
Yeah.
A few years ago, it was not very good. And then they got this chef from San Diego who is amazing, who's worthy of the greatest adulation it's possible to give.
Sweet.
I was there not too long ago. Anyway, Robert Knott will be with us.
Yes.
Next weekend.
He's going to fill in.
So that'll be like old days.
Yeah. You guys can catch up.
All right. Well, it's time to go. Adios.
Bye.